just thank that you are our Lord and our Savior. And as I minister your word this morning, bless of me and more of you. And may your anointing rest upon me and the word that I will deliver today. May we have ears to hear and a heart to receive. But not only hear and receive, but be doers of what we hear. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to jump right in. So what I want to talk to you about today is the power of a mother's love. The power of a mother's love. You know, a father plays their role while raising the children, but the mother plays a role also. And when each one of us stay in our lane, do what we're supposed to do, then everything balances out. Sometimes you know, and I know in some cases the mom has to be take on the role of the father as well, because sometimes the father may not be there, may be working, whatever. But we can always depend on God. He will lead us. He will guide us. And you know what? I've seen some strong single moms. I've seen some strong single moms because the word of God is what's helping them. The Holy Spirit is what's helping them. That's what's keeping them and giving them that wisdom to stand in and act as a father when the father's not there. There's a lot of absent fathers in the home. But just because there's absent fathers in the home doesn't mean that God has given up on you. No, he's right there to even strengthen you more and more and more. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But I've been reading where Mary, you know, we can learn a lot from Mary, Jesus' mother. We can learn a lot. I read where she took him to the temple. She didn't send him. She didn't go by herself. She took him when he was like 8 days old. Then every year they would go to the temple. They would take him to the temple. Then I was reading when he turned 12 years old. She took him. They took him to the temple. And he was just there ministering to the people, but that's what they would do every year. But it just blessed me to see that they took him. They took him. And that's what we need to do as parents. Take our children to church. Bring them to church. Because if we can drop them off in front of the schoolhouse, we can bring them to church on a Sunday. And you know, I've thought about that. We only have church. We have service every Sunday. That's what? That's four times. And then we have a Wednesday night service. And I know jobs or whatever, you know, people have responsibilities. But sometimes there isn't any reason that a mom can't bring her child to church. There isn't a good enough reason out there. We are going to be held accountable for what we do as mothers. And when we got married, that was just poured into me. Be the example for your children. Be that example. A child doesn't know how to go unless we lead them. So we as parents must be the example for our children. So I want us to look at, you know, Mary, she was prepared. That's why God chose her to have Jesus. She was prepared. And she says that she's going to live her life as a servant to God. We as mothers need to live our lives as servants to God. As servants to God. We are wives, you know. We are mothers. And I don't want to, you know, make my husband feel awkward in any way. But I tell him often, I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to be a wife to him and to be able to serve him. Now, I'm not talking about doing everything, tying his shoes and putting his socks on. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just talking about being what he needs me to be for him. I count that an honor. But we can learn a lesson from Mary. We can learn a lesson from Mary. Let's look at John chapter 2. The power of a mother's love. And I know today is Mother's Day, but we can also say the power of a father's love too. Because if it wasn't for the fathers, the mothers wouldn't be here. And the mothers, we have children, but the father plays an important role in that as well. So let's just look at John chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. She was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So she was telling the servants, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do what Jesus says do. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three frigates apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. They see what happened. And they filled them up to the brim. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Verse 8. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Now what did I get out of those verses? They followed the instructions of Jesus. They followed his instructions. What would have happened if whenever he said, fill the water pots with water? What would have happened? They said, oh no, we're not filling these water pots. There wouldn't have been any wine. What if he said, draw after they fill the pots, and then he says, okay, now draw it out? What if they said, oh no, they're not going to draw it out? But they did. They did exactly what he said do. So you know what? That's what we need to do as moms and as fathers. If God is talking to you and telling you something to do in his word, we need to do what he tells us to do. Now we see where Jesus turned the water into wine, didn't we? That's his first miracle. And that is good. So we can put our eyes on the miracle, but don't take your eyes off the miracle worker. Don't get so caught up on him turning the water to wine that you will really forget who Jesus is and what he's already done for you. He will turn our messes into miracles. How many of you have ever been in a mess? We all have been there. We've all been messed up, as they say, from the floor up. We've all been jacked up. We've all been messed up. But just like he turned that water to wine, he can turn things around for you. He can turn your pain into healing. He can turn your sorrow into joy. He can turn your worry into worship, and he can turn your pity into praise. How many of you ever had pity parties as a mom? I have. I used to have them quite often. Oh, poor me. These children. What's going on? I wish I had. Oh, I wish I had. Oh, what did I do wrong? They're just acting crazy. They're just acting stupid. Lord, you know I told them what to do. Oh, God, why me? Why me? Oh, God, I just been doing everything I'm supposed to do. Why, God? Oh, why? Stop pitying yourself. I had to stop having pity parties. I had to get up off my knees, wipe my face, and dry my tears, and start looking up to Jesus. Because if he can turn water to wine, he sure can take care of my situation. If he can turn water to wine, he can straighten my son out. If he can turn water to wine, he can straighten my daughter out. And not only that, if he can turn water to wine, he can straighten me out. He can straighten me out. There was times I felt like my house was supposed to stay clean at all times with four children. How in the world I thought that was going to happen. But I used to daydream. I would just daydream, God, I'm going to get married one day. I'm going to have a boy and I'm going to have a girl. They're never going to get dirty. They're going to never play in the sand. They're going to never play outside. I guess I think I had that, you know, when you see the lady walk around with the apron and the dress and the high heel shoes and the pearls on, and the husband go off to work, he comes in with the briefcase, and the little boy sitting on the couch, and he's cleaning, and the little girl, she's cleaning, and the whole house is clean. I guess I watch too much TV. But I had already purposed in my mind, I was going to have two, although he wanted 12. But we ended up with four, praise God. But I wanted, and they were going to be clean. The whole house was going to be clean. Nothing would ever get dirty. They wouldn't be dirty. The house wouldn't be dirty. Everything would be clean. And you know what? I got married. I had one. Then I had another one. And then I would go see my mom. And we lived on the farm. And I tell you what, I would take my two oldest sisters up there, and they would play at my mom's house with the cousins. They would be so dirty and dusty. When I come back down the road, all I can see is like two little rings. It's like, oh my goodness. My kids don't supposed to get dirty. But then I realize that's not real life. That's not real life. And so then I felt like as time went on, then I had another one. That was number three. Then I had another one. That was number four. And there has been times, so many times that I felt like, I'm going to say I felt like, that I missed it. In ways that I felt like I could have been a better mom. I could have said something different to change maybe different situations that would not have happened. I felt like that I could have nipped some things in the bud that maybe I didn't. But then I look back and I realize that, and we talk about turning pity into praise. I look back and then I realize that the enemy is out here and he doesn't play fair. The devil don't play fair. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil comes to take your children, destroy anything that they may want, and to really mess up your life. That's what the devil wants. And to keep you worried and stressed and depressed and oppressed and anything else you can think of. That's the assignment of the devil for your life. But the assignment of God for your life is to go to him and ask him for wisdom. So that's what I had to do when I felt like that I had missed it. I felt like I should be a better parent. How could I have messed up? But then God just says, come on, daughter, I got you. We got this. We got this. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But I realized that I needed to just have a closer relationship with God. I just need to go back again. Okay, God, help me here. Help me. And so let's look at James chapter 1, verse 5. That helped me turn my pity into praise. Because it's easy to feel sorry for yourself. It's easy for you to feel like you're the only one. It's easy for you to feel like, hey, I'm less than a parent. I've missed it. And oh my goodness, and the devil really beat you up when you know you've been saved all these years. And know that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You praying in tongues. You come to church. You read your word. God, I'm doing everything right. What happened? Life happens.
Yeah.
And some things are out of our control. We can't control everything. I see why children start kindergarten. Because, and then sometimes, you know, it's hard to let them go. It's hard to leave our little five-year-old at that door, see them walking around down the hall and the book bag is bigger than them. It's hard. It's hard. Krista used to go to daycare, and I think I cried about as much as she did. It was hard. But when we start them off, and little by little by little, we gradually let them go. Gradually, we let them go. So by the time that they're grown and on their own, doing their own thing, doing what they want to do, God, how do I get through it? How do I get through this, God? How do I get through it? Some of us have just had sucker punches. God, I didn't see it coming. How do I get through it? Well, I'm going to tell you this morning how to get through it. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, chapter 1, verse 5. This set me free. This set me free. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, and I can say this morning, if any mother lacks wisdom, let her ask of God, then give it to all men, liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. He said it shall be given to us. So what do we do in hard times when we're in a mess? What do we do while we're waiting on that water to turn to wine? What do we do when we're waiting on the pity parties to turn to praise? What do we do when we're waiting on the sorrow to be turned to gladness? That's when we go to God. Say, God, I'm asking for wisdom. What do I do? And he'll give it to you. Because what he tell me, it may be something that's totally different for you. But also know this, that God will give us wisdom to raise our children, to pray for them, lead them, and guide them. Do you know when they brought all four of mine to me, after I had the first one, and the second one, and the third one, and the fourth, after I had them in the hospital, they brought my babies to me. And they said, you discharged, you know, your husband can come pick you up and take you home. One thing they forgot, they didn't give me a manual. Manuals don't come with babies. Wouldn't that be nice if somebody wants me have, and they, you know how the nurse come in and put you in the wheelchair, and they get the diaper bag, and they get all your clothes, and you know, you get your going home clothes and your gown or whatever, and then if they would say, oh, by the way, here's a manual. This is going to show you and help you how to raise the baby. Then on page one, what do you do when the stomach hurts and you don't know what's wrong with them? Turn to page one. Okay, when they get to acting up, and what do? Turn to page two. Nope, that's not on there. We didn't get a manual, but we do have the Word of God. We do have the Word of God, and for that I am grateful. For that I am grateful. We do have hope. The devil will try to steal your hope. He'll try to take your peace. God gave us his word, and it says in James 1:5, if we need wisdom, what do? Ask for it. Let's say that together. When I need wisdom, I'm going to ask the Lord for it. Come on, men. When I need wisdom, I'm going to ask the Lord for it. And that's what we need to do. And also know this, each child is different. Each child is different. Some are talkers, and some are not. Some are talkers, and some are not. So, and oh my goodness, by the time they turn 12, you know, they just love being around mom while they're 9, 10, and 11. It's just, oh, it just can eat mom up. I don't know what happens when they turn 12 or 13. It's just like they turn into a totally different person. Like, oh, me? Calm down. You're about the same. And you can ask them how old. 12, and I'm 12 in 6 months. They love to put that in. But we need to pray for our, I call them the tweens. That's the in-between age group. And pray for your teens as well. Sometimes they aren't talkers, but just let them talk. If you take them out and eat them, feed them something real good, they'll be talking and tell you everything. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. But spend quality time with them. They act like they don't like it, but they do. They'll tell you later on, you know, I really enjoyed this or whatever. But we need to spend quality time with Jesus and in his word. He will help us help them. It's hard raising children. It was hard when I was raising mine, and it is hard now. It is hard. But also, mothers and fathers, do not, hear me good, do not compare your children to any other children. Don't do that. Do not compare your children to other children. Don't compare your children to each other. Don't do that. Because, you know, I don't want anybody to compare me to someone. Just let me be me. Just let me be me. So let your children be who they are. You help them. And we as moms and parents are teachers. How many of you know you're teachers? You might not teach for the district, but you're teachers. You're nurses, taxis, coaches, trainers. You're all of those things. And guess what? We are also an artist in their life. We an artist. We help paint their picture. Their life is like a blank canvas waiting to be painted by us. We help paint a picture. We teach them by our own lifestyles. What do they see me doing? Do they see me making Jesus a priority? We have to ask ourselves, these are some tough questions this morning, but do they see us making Jesus a priority in our lives? Do they hear us praying? Do they see me praying? Do they see me reading my word? Do they see us living a life pleasing to God? You know what? God didn't call us to condemn anybody, did he? God is not about condemnation. God called us to love everyone. And sometimes we as parents have to look at the tough side of it, and it's not easy, is it? Sometimes it's not easy looking at the different side. But we have to know that we as parents, as mom and dads, we need to live a life that's pleasing to God at all times. Do you know we have our natural man, we have our spiritual man? The one we need the most is going to always dominate. It's going to dominate. The one we need the most is going to dominate when we face obstacles in our lives. Now, we can be faced with different things, and the reason I said that one or the other is going to dominate. Okay, we come up against something, and we face something. What are we going to do first? Are we going to think about God and what the Word of God says, or are we going to fall apart? So that's the importance of feeding the spiritual man. So that when we come against different situations and obstacles in life, we can draw from what we've already deposited in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, the power of mothers to love. And I tell you what, we really need that power in the day and time that we are living in now. We really do need the power of God. The Holy Spirit is here to help us and lead us and guide us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's what I just said, right? Okay, and verse 6 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them, diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Do you know diligent means steady, energetic, and effort? Now, when we sit down sometimes, we've gone out to restaurants and different places, and you will see even the little ones coming in with their iPads or whatever they have. They're going to have that just like a baby bottle that they got. They're going to have it with them. So what happens is when they get inside, they sit down and they're playing on their iPad. The mama's on her phone and the daddy's on his phone and the child's on the iPad. So everybody's just sitting there looking on social media, not doing any talking. Unless the child is asking the mom to show them how to get some game out. That's about all we see. So just like it says in the Word of God, that when we sit down, we shall teach them. When we get up, we shall teach them. While we're riding, we shall teach them. We are to teach. We are to train. We are to teach. We are to train. We are to teach. We are to train. But some of you know, it's not easy teaching, is it? No, you know what you have to do? I know I have. Go watch cartoons. That was back then. Just can get them all the phone so everybody can stay out of my face. So now you got your phone. So you over there on the couch, I'm over here on the love seat, I'm over here in my lazy boy, and I'm over here. So everybody's on their phones. When are you ever time to tell them anything about God? When is that time that you can put the word of God in them? When is that time when you can tell your son, you know, son, follow after the heart of God. No matter what happens, I want you to stay focused. Daughter, no matter what happens, I want you to stay focused. If some little guy comes up trying to lead you astray or do something that he should not do, touching you in a way he should not touch you, these are things that we as moms need to teach our daughters. So when do you have that time of impartation? When everybody is busy. Because I got to see what the latest thing is on my Facebook page. But we need to teach. So we are to teach our children to love Jesus. I have four things that I want to tell you. And I've been probably going over them anyway. Number one, we are to teach our children to love Jesus with all their heart. Do you know you can love Jesus but not have a relationship? You can love Jesus, but don't come to church. You can love Jesus, but don't read your word. You can love Jesus, but not walk in love. You can love Jesus, but still do some things maybe you shouldn't do. But that's when it comes to loving him with all your heart and having a relationship with him. Having a relationship with him. Teach them to obey the word of God. The word of God says we're not supposed to steal. The word of God says we're not supposed to lie. The word of God says that we're to walk in love. The word of God has a whole lot of do's on the inside in his word. So we are to teach them to obey the word of God. Teach them to love the word of God. And number four, bring them to church. Now, I know once they grow big, but you can do it. But pray and just give them the word of God. Then, hey, they're old enough, then they're on their own. That's between them and God. But as long as they're at that age that you can still be a mom and a dad and lead them and guide them, do what you need to do. And always remember that we are living examples, painting a picture for them, making an impression in their lives forever. Making an impression in their lives forever. Forever. So maybe there's something that I can say to my daughter that will take her right on into eternity. Take her right on into living for God. Same thing with your sons. So we need to make time to follow these steps. It will be well worth it, and it will last forever. But never, never, never let other things replace Jesus and the word of God in your life. In their lives. There is no substitute for Jesus and his word. There is no substitute for Jesus and his word. But let the wisdom of God lead you and not your emotions. We as moms, are led a lot of times by our emotions. I'm just talking about me. We have that opportunity to be led by our emotions. But God said, if anybody likes wisdom, let him ask. So when we're faced with different situations that concerns our children, what do I do? That's when you lean on God and you trust God. And I highly recommend, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit. I used to be afraid to receive the Holy Spirit because I thought that if I get filled with the Holy Spirit, I was going to have to wear a little dolly, you know, a little dolly on top of my head. I thought that I'd get run around in circles. I thought that I had no control over it. I just thought that's what I thought. So when I thought that, I shunned away from being filled with the Holy Spirit. But then I found out, once I found out that the Holy Spirit is my helper, he's my comforter.
And I also found out that when I was praying for my children and praying for our church family and praying for different ones, that I run out of words quickly. I ran out of words quickly. But knowing now that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, He's my comforter. And when I run out of words, then I start praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you face different situations with your children, my answer would be to you, start praying in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, just give me wisdom what to do. Give me wisdom how to help her. Give me wisdom how to help him. Give me wisdom. Sometimes we try to make things so just, it's so big, but sometimes we just have to go to the back to the basics. And he says, if any man like wisdom, let him ask. So we just need to ask God for wisdom to help us in every situation. And when you get some news of different things that's going on with your children, just take some deep breaths and say, God, I need your help. I need you to come help me now. Come quickly. And he will. He'll help you. He'll help you. He'll help you deal with different issues and different situations. Because sometimes just because you think that they are 20, 30, 40, oh, they got it now. It's a breeze. Honey, it's not a breeze. You will always be a mom. You could always be a mom. So you're going to always need to stand in prayer for them. They may not have to come to you. No, they may not even be in your house. You don't have to deal with all of that. But yet still, stand in the gap. Stand in prayer for your children and asking God to give you the wisdom that you need to help you make it through the day. So in those hard times, what do? We look to Jesus. When a pity party want to come, what do? We put on praise. Put you some praise and worship music on. Pull up something. Get something going that you can shake yourself from that. Because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that I may have life and have it more of what? Abundantly. Amen. So lift your heads up. Get your head up. There is hope. There is hope. So no matter what you're dealing with your children, they can be the best or they can be this or they can be that. Nothing caught God by surprise, and he's still on the throne.
Yes,
he's still on the throne. We win. Yes. We win. We are winners in Jesus Christ. The power of a mother's love will take you through when you depend on the power of the Holy Ghost to cover you. Amen. It'll take you through. It'll take you through. It'll take you through. And don't compare. Don't compare. Amen. Well, ladies, have yourself a wonderful day. Go home and eat some ham and potato salad or some baked chicken and macaroni and green beans and apple pie and ice cream. All of that good stuff. Amen? Amen, amen. What I want to do right now, do we have anyone here that does not know Jesus as your Lord? They don't know you.